Good evening, this is Mark Lynch, and this is Inquiry. My guest tonight is Gene Luen Yang. He writes, sometimes draws, comic books and award-winning graphic novels. And tonight we're talking about his latest, Dragon Hoops, From Small Steps to Great Leaps. Gene, welcome to the show. It's a real pleasure to talk to you about this book.
Thank you so much, Mark. Thanks for having me.
I got to testify to you in front of the audience. I was born without the sports gene. I literally, like you as in your younger days, I had no interest in sports whatsoever, even though I had two older brothers who were very jockey. I grew up with comics, and this book got me so totally hooked. I have to give you like a special award for that because I didn't think it could happen, but you did it.
That's wonderful to hear. That's great to hear. So just like you, I grew up as a comic book nerd, and I also had zero interest in sports.
Well, so you grew up at a completely different age from me, because like my favorite still, although I still read lots of contemporary comics, I grew up with Silver Age, DC, and Marvel. And so that my passion, my heart goes back to then. But you grew up much later.
Not that much later. I grew up in the 80s and 90s.
So that's a lot later. I grew up in the 50s and the 60s. It's a lot later.
Yeah.
So let me just ask you right off.
Still working in comics, though. Some of the same folks are still working in comics.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Not Sheldon Moldoff. No.
No.
So what comics did you read when you were young?
Well, the very first comic I got was an issue of DC Comics Presents.
Oh, yeah.
Number 57. It was Superman and the Atomic Knights. But then pretty soon after that, I became a Marvel head. So even though the first comic I bought was DC, I moved on to Marvel pretty quickly.
Isn't that amazing how that happens?
Yeah. I think Silver Age was a little bit different. But in the 80s and 90s, for whatever reason, the in-universe stuff, Marvel just seemed cooler. I don't think that's true anymore, but back then it was.
I don't think that's because you work for DC.
Yeah. It's okay. That's part of it.
Oh, man. Toe the company line, kid. Anyways, but I watched that happen. I watched it because, you know, you grew up and it was always DC and, you know, and Batman especially, the early days. And then all of a sudden, I think it was about mid-60s, maybe a little bit earlier actually, when Marvel came out with all their original lineup of Spider-Man and Fantastic Four and stuff like that. And then everybody just sort of went, Superman? Who's that? But I still have a huge affection for all the original DC stuff. And I loved all the secondary characters like Mr. Mitzelplick and all that other stuff.
Yeah. I think, in a lot of ways, I don't know if Marvel could exist without DC, right? Because DC established what we expect a superhero to be.
That's true.
And then Marvel just went through and kind of broke all the rules.
Yeah, they needed the rules to begin with in order to rebel against them.
That's right. Yeah, Superman is the rule setter, and then Spider-Man is the exact opposite.
We'll,
right?
we'll talk about Superman later. Let's talk about Dragon Hoops. I'm amazed by it. This is an epic graphic accounting. It's fascinating because it also includes your sort of ambiguity about wanting to even do it. You were done with the project and you really felt like you needed a new story. And how did you stumble upon doing a story about the basketball team of the high school where you taught?
Well, like I said, I was not interested in sports at all. So if you had told me even, you know, 7-8 years ago that I'd spend 5 years of my life working on a book about basketball, I would not have believed you. At the time, I was a high school teacher. I taught in Oakland, California. I'd been there for about 16 years when I began the book.
So what were you teaching?
I was teaching computer science, like a proper nerd.
All right.
Yeah.
Carry that banner high.
Yeah.
And we got to give a shout-out to the school, the Bishop O'Dowd High School.
That's right, Bishop O'Dowd High School. And Bishop O'Dowd has always had a great basketball team, but because I was a computer science teacher, the vast majority of my students had nothing to do with basketball. Like every now and then, you know, 17 years, I was there for 17 years. Every now and then I would have a student on the basketball team. But I never went to watch their games, you know? They would talk to me about it sometimes in the classroom, but I just never went. And then I got to know this guy. I got to know Coach Lou Ritchie, who is the coach of the varsity men's team there. We'd been on the same campus for about 10 years, but we were never friends.
Wow.
We would say hi to each other in the halls, and that was about it.
Well, there's a panel in your book, if I can just digress for a second, where you show the teacher's room, and it's like segregated just like all the high school students are.
Yeah, it's true. It's really funny. It's really funny that those lines still exist. And to be fair, there were some teachers that would go from one table to the other, but most of us, the nerdy teachers would sit with the nerdy teachers, and then all the drama teachers would sit together, you know, and then all the PE teachers would sit together. But Lou and I, we became friends. You know, we slowly became friends. We started talking to each other, and at the time, like one of the things that happened to push that was everybody on campus was talking about Lou's team, and I wanted to find out what was up.
You still sort of resisted in the beginning, choosing that as your next project. But what was the thing that sort of pushed you over the edge and you realized that this was the story that you wanted to pursue?
It really was Lou. Lou told me this.
He's a fascinating person. I mean, I don't know him, but I feel like I know a lot about him because of your book.
Yeah, he's probably the most interesting person I know personally, you know? And he told me this crazy story from when he was a teenager that ended up being the first chapter of the book. Yeah, chapter one.
And so
Lou he's not just a coach, he's also an alum of Bishop O'Dowd High School. And when he was a teenager, his team made it all the way to the California State Championship. And they were down by one with 7 seconds left. He was on the court. He got that ball in his hand. He put it up at the buzzer.
Wow.
It went through the hoop. They won by one, and then the ref invalidated that last shot. And that has haunted him ever since. So he's now he's in his 40s. It was just still a thing, you know. So I wanted to follow his team to see if he could redeem that old hurt from his teenage years.
And that's one of the things that makes Dragon Hoops so engaging, is that everybody that you deal with has a backstory. And you really flesh these basketball players and the coaches out to an amazing degree by really letting the reader understand who these people are instead of just ciphers in a basketball team.
Well, thank you. I think, early on, I did think really hard about how, why people get interested in sports in the first place. And I thought to myself, I thought I'm generally not interested in sports, but every 4 years I do watch the Olympics. So why do I do that? And I think one of the reasons is when you watch the Olympics, they don't just show you the sport, right? They also tell you about the people.
Right.
So I began interviewing the coaches and the players, looking for these backstories that I'd be able to use for these Olympic style vignettes. And fortunately, those players and those coaches are just fascinating people. You know, I found so many great stories. I wasn't even able to fit it all into the book. You know, I had to end up choosing. I ended up choosing 6 players to focus on.
Were you amazed about the very unique relationship between the coach and the players?
Yes. I mean, that was something I have to admit I was a little bit jealous of, because I don't know if there's an equivalent in comics, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe back in the day, I do remember reading stories about Frank Miller being mentored by Neil Adams.
Okay.
But I don't know if that exists as much anymore. But that really is a special relationship between coaches and players.
Yeah, but did Neil Adams get up at 5:30 to drive?
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe it's Coach Lou, but he went way beyond the calling to get these kids to the whatever they had to go at the time, and really worked with them. So he knew them as people and knew about their lives and knew what they needed. And you could talk about Neil all the time, all you want. I don't think that was going on between Neil and Frank Miller.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, Lou is a special person. He's especially passionate. And when you say calling, I think that's exactly what it was. It wasn't just a job. I mean, he's still there. It is a calling. Like he maintains relationships with those kids all the way through.
Yeah.
This is something that didn't make it in the book either. During that season, there was an alum from his team who'd gone through Bishop O'Dowd maybe 10 years earlier. And that, a kid that I actually taught. He was one of the few basketball players that actually took a computer science class with me. And that year, this alum was actually going through brain cancer. So he had to go through surgery, and ultimately it ended up fine. But all the way through, you know, I would be following this team. We'd be about to play, and this alum would call Lou just to talk. And Lou would pick up the phone and talk to him. We'd be sitting on the bus on the way to a game, and he'd be talking to this alum who was about to go through surgery. So it was an amazing thing to see.
I want to talk to you about, as an artist, drawing sports action. Now, yeah, you've worked with, you've written for, and you've also drawn other kinds of comics, a graphic novels and so on and so forth. But was it a learning curve for you to try to capture sports action?
Yes. Yes, I was actually constantly worried I would get, like, the details wrong about where the hand positions are.
Yep,
on
yep.
The ball,
oh, I totally get. I totally understand that.
You know?
Yeah.
So I ended up getting my friends who knew more about basketball, who were actual lifelong basketball fans, to look at the panels to tell me. But I did also look at other comics. I looked at sports comics, which aren't very common in America.
No.
But are very common in Japan. So there's a especially popular manga series called Slam Dunk, which is about a Japanese high school team chasing after the national championship. And I read the first 5 volumes of that to see how they handled the action. It's a great comic.
But it was a learning curve.
It was 100% a learning curve, yes.
What was amazing for me is, having grown up with sports in the background, kind of, because my brothers are watching the Celtics and everything, that your panels looked like the game. And I'm going, like, wow. Is he out there on the court sketching them? Or, I mean, what are you doing?
I did do that. Yeah. When I was following the team, I had a computer with me taking notes, and I also did have a sketchbook with me from time to time to sketch. The team had a videographer, so I was able to get video of the game.
Nice.
Of all the ones that ended up being included in the book. And I just freeze framed a lot, you know?
Yep.
But I also did look at, like, professional photographs of NBA players just to study how those positions looked, you know, the body positions looked.
You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. My guest tonight is Gene Luen Yang. He writes, sometimes draws, comic books and award-winning graphic novels. And we're talking about his latest. It is amazing. If it could engage me, it can engage anybody. Dragon Hoops, From Small Steps to Great Leaps. Gene, why was this particular season so important for the Dragons?
Well, Lou had, after he lost that championship when he was a teenager, he came back to Bishop O'Dowd and became first an assistant coach and then a head coach. He became the first African-American head coach of that school. And as an assistant coach and as a head coach, he led 5 teams to the California State Championship, and he lost all 5 times. So this year that I followed them, the 2014-2015 school year, they had these 2 players on this team. One kid's name was Ivan Rabb, who is now playing professional basketball in New York. And the other is Paris Austin, who recently graduated from UC Berkeley. And there he had a stellar career, both academically and athletically. These 2 kids were just incredibly talented. They were the most talented players that had gone through the men's program in maybe a generation. So supposedly, you know, the 2014-2015 season was Lou's best chance at finally redeeming that old hurt, at finally capturing the California State Championship. So I wanted to find out if he could do it. And that's part of what the book is about.
And so there's that tension as you're reading, because you go through all the games through the book. And it's amazing how that tension builds up. And I want to talk to you about that, because the other thing is, graphically, how to capture that sense of attention within a game, and that you managed to do too.
Well, thank you again.
Damn you, because I'm not gonna I'm not gonna start watching sports. I almost, you know, it's like. We'll talk about that.
You know, there is a difference between like sports and sports stories, right? Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, I do think you have to know more about sports to watch the actual game. But I do also think that a lot of my sports fan friends, when they're watching the game, that's what they're actually watching for. They know the backstories of a lot of these players in the back of their head.
Yep,
they know
yep.
the rivalries and that kind of stuff. So the tension you mentioned, I did feel when I was watching these games in person.
I could feel it through your story.
Yeah, I mean, there's just the big thing was I wasn't sure how I was going to end the book if they
don't
short of the
goal. Don't give away the ending of the book.
Yeah, I'm not going to give away the ending of the book, but I will say that I was freaked out all the way through, and at some point I did like I remember like reading examples of sports stories, and when I read Friday Night Lights. I felt a little bit settled because that was basically structured the same way. He follows a high school football team for a season, and in the end, they do fall short. I hope that's not too big of a spoiler.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's still able to make it compelling. So all the way through, like, you know, the Dragons would lose a game, and I'd be like, I got to figure out a Friday Night Lights kind of twist for this, you know. So I always had two plans, one that I would follow if they won at the end and one that I followed if they lose.
Now, if this all wasn't enough, the amazing thing is your book also tells the history of basketball, period.
Yeah, I mean, that was something that was fascinating to me. In the beginning, I was just reading just because I felt so inadequate because I knew nothing about basketball. So I was reading all these books about basketball history. And then what I realized was what I was reading was affecting how I was watching the game.
You know, that's really interesting. Yeah,
I started noticing things in the present that were connected to things in the past.
But it's, you know, okay, Springfield, Massachusetts, you know, we're calling from Worcester, so Springfield's just to our west, and the Basketball Hall of Fame is there, which I've never been to. But, you know, the story, I think the history, that story is sort of known at least to some people about how basketball started. But you included a lot of other interesting histories I did not know. The Harlem Globetrotters, that was a fascinating story. The history of women in basketball, another really fascinating story. Basketball in China. I didn't know any of these stories. And you put them all together, and it was a really fascinating, interesting history of the sport.
Well, when I started, I really did know nothing. But it was just stumbling after one story and after another. Like that Harlem Globetrotters thing, I'd taken my kids to go watch them.
Yeah,
at a local arena, and it was a ton of fun. But I didn't realize they were so historically significant to the sport to the sport of basketball. It's not just that. I think basketball sits in this really strange place in American history. You know, it really began as like this sport for outcasts you didn't really need a field of grass to play. The communities that gravitated towards basketball in the very beginning were poor communities. They're like, you know, immigrant communities and communities of color. And it really was like this outcast sport that became this huge multi-million dollar multinational kind of phenomenon, right? So that in and of itself is like this total underdog story. And that just played out again and again in these small ways, like with the founding of women's basketball, with basketball establishing itself in China, all the way through. So I wanted to highlight all of
those. Well, I mean, just for a minute, and to give the audience a flavor of the book, under the story of women in basketball, there's the story of the first dunk by a woman.
Yeah.
And there's this whole weird story about the videotape.
Yeah, that's right. George Ann Wells. When I found that, like,
Tell the stories.
Yeah, so there was this phenomenal basketball player named George Ann Wells who in college became the first woman to dunk in a recorded game. But unfortunately, the team that she dunked on, that coach just had a huge ego. So he was the one that had the game. It was his videographer that captured that historic moment. And despite, you know, pressure from the media and from George Ann Wells' own coach, he would not release that video. So after he passed away, everybody just thought it was kind of lost, right? The people who cared thought it was kind of lost. And there was a journalist by the name of Reed Albergati who was able to track down that video and put it up on the internet. And that was like, I don't know, it was like 15 years after it happened, 20 years, something like that.
Wow.
It was kind of amazing. And it really was like this one man's ego was keeping this historic women's moment out of the public light.
Jeez.
Right? Just it was a shocking thing.
One of the things that's important for people to understand too is racial epithets that get thrown around on the floor. And you deal with that in this book. And you were surprised the level of stuff that happened between players.
I was. And it wasn't just players. It was also the crowd. I mean, I do think, basketball, being this outcast sport, was an arena for America to kind of play out some of our racial tensions, you know, in sometimes ugly ways. I think the reason why the Harlem Globetrotters were so important was because they kind of broke past that in this historic game against the Minneapolis Lakers in 1948. But that didn't solve everything, you know. And when I was following the Lou's team, he did have this one player on his team named Jeevan Sandhu, who recently got into med school. That's how long it's been.
Wow.
The events of that book took place. But he was almost always the only Sikh kid on the court. And because of that, he just heard all sorts of stuff. He heard all sorts of crap. I mean, sometimes from his opposing players, but usually from the crowd. And he would tell me about it. But then when I actually sat down in the crowd and heard it being said to him by these adults, it was still shocking.
We're talking about the players' backstories. I found his backstory really fascinating. Being a Sikh, he had an interesting take on Mahatma Gandhi that probably most people in America, other than other Sikhs, aren't familiar with.
Yeah. I mean, he was gracious. Jeevan was very gracious with his time. I got to know him pretty well. We're still in touch.
Is he the one that needed you to correct his hairline?
He was the one that needed me to correct. Yeah, I drew his hairline wrong. And he called me out on it.
That's what makes this book so compelling, is that you get sort of lost in every one of the players' stories.
Well, again, thank you. That's wonderful to hear. But what you say about Jeevan and Gandhi is exactly right for me. Like, I had no idea that there was this other perspective on Gandhi.
No.
And Jeevan, to be fair, does say that, you know, not every Sikh believes the same things about Gandhi as he does, but he does offer this very, very different take on.
Very critical.
Very critical.
Very critical.
Of Muhammad Gandhi.
I think people will be surprised. And he ended up dealing with that within the classroom by doing a presentation, and everybody appreciated it. I mean, the school sounds pretty unique in the way that it deals with diversity.
It is. I mean, Bishop O'Dowd is, like, that environment is probably the most diverse environment I've ever been to. You know, and it's not like it doesn't have its problems. But overall, I feel like Bishop O'Dowd, I was very lucky to be a part of that faculty. You know,
I feel
like I came out of that experience teaching there as a better person, in large part because of the way that community deals with issues of diversity.
Now, every artist, every comic artist has their idiosyncrasies. And one of yours that I picked up visually is the way you portray people when they're sort of angry. And do you have these, like, super fat, dark lines coming out of their head, like the grrr, without writing the grrr. Is, how did you develop that? Because I started noticing that whenever there was, like, tension, there'd be these lines coming out.
That was actually specific for Dragon Hoops. I was trying to figure out.
It's the first time you've ever done it?
Yeah, it was. It was specific for this book.
Okay.
And it's because, like, I wanted that because I wanted to talk about anger in the context of sports. Because, I mean, I saw it, right?
And instead of writing, especially with the crowd. Instead of going old style and just going grr.
Yeah. And I wanted to show, like, there are some moments when that anger dissipates for a reason that happens on the court. Something happens on the court and the anger of the crowd dissipates. So I was sort of establishing a way of talking about anger visually early on so that when that moment came, I could have a visual way of showing it.
Do you have a name for that kind of mark?
Well, it's there is a name for all of those.
I know that. Together, I know that.
Right? It's
I forget what it is.
Emanata. It's Emanata, I think.
Wow.
Is the name, but that specific Emanata, I don't think I have a name for it. Maybe just like grumpy lines. What do I call grumpy lines from now on?
And I have to say, your wife plays a role in this book, too. She sort of seemed to be the steadying influence in this story.
Yeah, she is that in my actual life, too. My wife, I'm always like the really nervous one, and then she's always like the really calm one that doesn't worry about anything. Sometimes it drives me crazy. Sometimes I like want her to worry, you know, just to prove my own worries is valid. But
there's also a mantra that goes throughout this book, which is fewest mistakes wins. Where did that come from?
That was a Coach Lou thing. I mean, he was quoting a famous coach. I think it was John Wooden who said it.
Okay.
But he was quoting somebody else. But he said that over and over again. Like, I'd sit in on these pep talks that he and the other coaches would do for the players, and he would just quote that again and again. He wanted his players to be careful.
Fewest mistakes wins. We're all out of time. My guest tonight has been Gene Luen Yang. He writes, sometimes draws comic books and award-winning graphic novels. And we're talking about his latest book. It is a great achievement. Dragon Hoops, From Small Steps to Great Leaps. Gene, it's been a real pleasure.
Thank you so much, Mark. Thank you so much for having me. It's been so fun to talk to you about all this.
Well, we'll have you back next time. Anyways, we'll talk about your next work. Actually, I want to talk to you about doing Superman. You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. Good night.